Hello again, everyone. I'm Don Wolf, and I love jazz. And we're visiting with Dr. Arthur White. He's MU's Director of Jazz Studies and Assistant Professor of Music at the University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri. A brand new CD, their debut album, has gotten some national attention, and we're happy to talk with Dr. White about the new CD and the program. Dr. White, welcome to I Love Jazz.
Don, thank you for having me. What a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I know as a proud alumni of both the school and the law school, I'm very excited about the musical program.
Oh, thank you very much. I think it's a wonderful school of music. I think most people in the state know about it, but what we're trying to do is to start positioning ourselves nationally. I want to take over the country. Are you kidding? This would be fantastic. With the school of music, we can do that, I think.
Well, you know, your debut recording has already received some national attention, been called one of the notable CDs of the year, and one of the only college and university programs that have made that list.
Well, it's something I'm really, really proud of. To be listed on the Royal Stokes, who's of course a respected jazz journalist and noted jazz historian and author. To be included in his list of his notable CDs is a really impressive achievement. It's rare that he would. I mean, he'll put the CDs he thinks are worthy of a second listen, and certainly worthy of additional attention on that list. And I couldn't be happier and more honored that he included us in that list. And we've been, as you mentioned, we've been receiving some really wonderful press. AllAboutJazz.com gave us a really favorable review a few months ago, as has Jazz Ambassador Magazine, and we've received a little bit of attention in Downbeat, and a little bit of attention in the Jazz Ed Magazine. So we're making some really impressive strides, and the band, again, I couldn't be prouder of that first recording that we did. It was really wonderful.
As well you should be. We have been noted from around the country for many years for our football program and our basketball program, even our baseball program. But this is the first time I've noted that we've been recognized for our musical program. And as the director of jazz studies, I know you've got to be thrilled.
I couldn't be. I'm so excited to not only be at Mizzou and to be involved with this wonderful school of music, but it's really a great honor to teach these young talented musicians. I really do think that the University of Missouri School of Music gets wonderful. We get some really impressive student musicians, and of course it's my job to help. A big part of my job is to make sure that those students interested in jazz are continue to develop and progress. And make real strides each year and learn something new. Hopefully every day that they're getting new information from us and our terrific staff of adjunct professors. And it's been so far so good. This is my almost completion of my second year, and I could not be more thrilled to talk about the direction that this program is heading. I think it's really exciting, and I think more people are going to be talking about MU when they do talk about jazz in this country, certainly at the academic levels.
Well, you know, before we talk about the CD itself, Vertigo, let me talk a little bit about jazz education, because a lot of people over the 28 years I've been doing radio shows have said to me that they wondered whether jazz will remain alive, or whether, because many of our artists are old legacies, if you will, that maybe the music was dying out, the popularity has changed in the popular music scene, and no longer is jazz considered all that popular. My response has always been that jazz will be alive and well as long as we have schools that are doing the kinds of education that are going on in the grade schools, the high schools, the colleges, and the universities, we will always have good jazz. What do you say to that?
I think you've hit it right on the head. I think I think it's now the responsibility of higher education institutions to provide the same mentorship to young talented musicians that once upon a time, you know, say for example the Horace Silver bands or the Art Blakey bands might have provided. I mean, Blakey hired the best young musicians he could find, and that's how the Marsalis brothers got started. That's how the Eubanks brothers, Robin and Kevin and Dwayne, all three I believe played with the Blakey band, as well as the Brecker brothers playing with Horace Silver. So it's once upon a time the onus was on established band leaders to hire the up and coming young musicians, and that really doesn't happen as much anymore. So I think and the education that once upon a time might have been provided on the road has truly been placed on the shoulders of the academic realm. So I think it's really important that we continue to perform the highest caliber music, and that we can also provide the highest caliber new music as well. It's not just one thing to play the great tunes out of the Basie catalog or the Ellington catalog. In fact, we just finished a big Ellington project last week that we performed with our choral union. It was a great learning experience for all of us. But we have to also continue to play and encourage and put new music out in order to continue and not be afraid to preserve jazz's traditions, but to push jazz's envelope forward. I think it's a big responsibility that the university has now. There's really no more mentoring programs, not like there once was. And I think it's incumbent upon us, and I think it's also our responsibility to try to cultivate new audiences. I think part of the issue is that our audiences, just like our musicians, do age with time, and I think it's really important an equal responsibility to try to cultivate new patrons of jazz, new audiences for jazz music. And I think it's equally our responsibility to be able to take care of those things. And I think it's one of the things we're doing hopefully well at the University of Missouri is not only preserving the traditions, the pushing the envelope, and bringing new members in the fold while having respect, of course, for our patrons who love jazz and love the tradition.
And how would you summarize the quality of the education these youngsters had before they come to the university to continue their education?
I think at the primary and secondary levels, it has improved significantly. I think even a lot of high school directors are taking the responsibility of passing those traditions on to young students. I've been fortunate to teach for a number of years now, and simultaneously have a performance career, and I teach studio, and I certainly know that my interest in jazz, my love of jazz, would not have started without a passionate high school teacher giving me the proper direction. I mean, my first jazz record was Charlie Parker with Strings. The first time I heard Just Friends knocked me off my seat. And I would not have heard that record had it not been for my high school director who pushed me there. So I think it's important to recognize that we do have some really talented high school directors that are coming out of college programs, that are passionate about jazz, that are preaching the gospel, so to speak, to younger players. And I think it's really important that the universities continue to put out really talented players and teachers like that to continue to push the idea of jazz as, whatever the case, as an important art form to study, as an American music, however you want to slice it. It's important that we involve young players and musicians and young patrons as well on that level, certainly.
Let me ask you a question that one of my listeners asked me, and that is, what is the future for these students when they graduate to get into jazz on a commercial level when there are so few big bands these days and when jazz is not commercially as popular as other types of music? Where do the kids go when they graduate?
Well, hopefully they'll start their own careers. I mean, one of the things that I know a lot of musicians encourage is to start their local scenes, to really push for to strengthen their local jazz scenes, whether that means pushing the local clubs and the local restaurants and the local venues to push for more jazz, whether that means, you know, to begin a big band in their neighborhood and to write music and to again to try to, you know, sell that art form even stronger. So I think it really does have to, in order for it to really be an effective global music, it does have to start. It's kind of like recycling. It has to start on a local level. You know, we have to be. It's not just about New York and Chicago, although we both know that those towns are incredible for jazz. I mean, St. Louis has a marvelous jazz scene with some incredible players, as does Kansas City, as does Columbia, as a matter of fact, has some really amazing players. And I think it's incumbent upon the local musicians to make their scenes thrive. I don't think it's one of those things that we have to move to, to those areas in order to play world class jazz anymore. I think it's about world class musicians starting scenes wherever they are. And I think that's a really important thing to do. And I think that we can certainly tie the university back into that. You know, I know here in Columbia, not only am I now privileged to teach and direct a couple of big bands and teach the combos and all the jazz curriculum at the university, but I'm also active as a local musician because I'm firmly in belief of the local scene. I think I play with the local Columbia Jazz Orchestra, which is a collection of really talented jazz musicians. I also play locally in several of the clubs and several of the jazz venues that are available in town. And of course, I, you know, travel to St. Louis and Kansas City quite a bit and play both of those venues. And I'm regionally active. I'm certainly nationally active as an educator and a performer. So I think it's really incumbent upon us to get our local scenes happening first. And then we encourage more musicians to move to those scenes. We encourage the local restaurants and the local venues to continue to push to include jazz in their menus, so to speak.
Well, I know you're an accomplished saxophonist and composer, let's talk a little bit about the debut recording. First of all, what's taken so long for the University of Missouri to record their first recording session? I know some of the other universities around the country do record, not many, but some. So tell us why it's been so long that we haven't
had
a recording.
That's a really good question. I'm not exactly sure why they haven't, why my predecessors, for example, haven't decided to do anything. I knew that the minute I got to Mizzou and heard the talented musicians here that we had to do something. We had to get attention for this program. And honestly, I think I think a really good way of doing that is to put a nationally produce a CD that we're going to push nationwide. And I think that was one of my goals. At my previous school, that was in the middle of a small town in Oklahoma, when the moment I got there, we not only put 5 CDs out, we recorded them with some of the biggest, you know, some of the best players in jazz.
Right.
Bobby Watson, Robin Eubanks, Russell Malone, to name just a couple. And we brought these wonderful, wonderful musicians in to record with the students. And that's what we did. That's what I decided to do this year. And we recorded it with the incredible Mike Minieri, the vibraphonist, probably best known for starting the band Steps Ahead, the jazz fusion outfit that, of course, included players like Michael Brecker and Eddie Gomez and Arani Elias and Peter Erskine and all these incredible musicians. And Mike Vigneri being not only the founder and really the director and leader of that band, but really one of the, in my opinion, one of the great jazz musicians, one of the great improvising jazz musicians, a wonderful vibraphonist, incredible, and an incredible person. What a great guy. And the students just, when we talked about the idea of doing that, Mike and I have been talking about it for a couple of years because we've worked together in this capacity before, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And that was we thought, okay, this is the way to introduce the University of Missouri to the national audience is through Mike's music. And Mike was totally sold on it, and the band was totally sold on it, and so we did it, we recorded it, and yeah, I think the rest is history, but hopefully not too distant of the history. So, but it's an incredible experience, to say the least. Really amazing.
Well, it's a good lead-in for you to talk a little bit about the recording itself. What amazed me about the recording is that you picked some rather difficult music to be the tunes that you were going to record, and the students carried it off very well, I thought.
Oh, thank you for saying that. And I'm like a proud dad almost in that respect that they were able to pull off, dote on your kids, you dote on your students, whatever the case is. In this case, I mean, I could not have been prouder of a group of students so far. And I've been proud of just about every group I've ever had because they do go above and beyond the call of duty, because that's really what musicians have to do these days in order to not only survive, but thrive. And with this project, I mean, an unusual project to say the least. Mike had never recorded a big band album, certainly had never had an extensive amount of his music arranged for big band, and he was on board with the project immediately. I said, "Mike, let's do a big band record, and let's do your music, and let's reimagine your music in a big band format." And he had, like I said, he had a couple of really stellar arrangers write for him, write briefly for him, and he was, and I'd done some writing again for him, and he loved the idea of me doing more big band arranging for him. So I did. So we did the nine tunes that we recorded. Six of them are arrangements that I did and did between the fall of 2009 and the spring of 2010 when we recorded this stuff. So we all have really brand new arrangements and a fantastic job. Like the band played wonderfully. Student soloists played great, and of course Mike just killed it. He was remarkable. Just one of the better one of the great experiences I've had recording with a wonderful guest artist and jazz musician. And the students dug it too, and they played great.
You may have already answered this next question, but with such a successful debut recording and doing so in with very difficult music, what plans do you have for your second CD?
It's coming up too. That's what's kind of scary about it, but it's incredibly exciting nonetheless. I think we are the next plan is we are going to feature. This will be a completely different project, whereas we did Mike's music and reimagined some, again, like you said, very difficult and challenging music into a big band format. This CD sort of builds upon that premise of creating new original works, and so we'll have several new works, and about over at least half of the works on this brand new CD that we're getting ready to record in a couple of weeks will be student compositions, and that's really cool too. The University of Missouri's School of Music has a wonderful composition program, a really strong really strong commitment to creating new works, and we want jazz to be a part of that vision as well. So this CD will feature it'll feature five new compositions from MU students, current students. It'll feature two new original compositions that I wrote, and it'll feature two brand well two one moderately. One brand new arrangement and one revamped arrangement that we're going to do with our two guest artists on this CD. And the cool thing is, all the composers, all the guest artists that we'll have are Missouri-centric artists. They are Bobby Watson, of course, who we know is one of the great musicians, and is a dear friend. He'll be one of our soloists, as well as another Mizzou alum, the wonderful flugelhornist Mike Matheny. And both of these guys are fantastic, and they're totally excited about coming down and playing with the band. And so it's going to be a really interesting Missouri-centric, all original mostly original composition project.
Well, that's very exciting. On the other hand, I want to tell you that when young musicians who are about to record talk to me about the material for their recording, I always suggest to mix in with their own compositions some of the standards so that the listening audience, the buying public, if you will, can have a little of both and not be just stuck with all original compositions that may or may not be successful and turn the listener on. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I think one of the plans eventually is to go back and to cover some of that really wonderful material. It's certainly, for students, I think it's incredibly important that they know Count Basie, and it's incredibly important that they know Duke Ellington. And you know, there's several wonderful modern composers that are out of those traditions as well. And I think it's really incumbent upon us as jazz educators to keep that music alive. And I think eventually what I envision certainly is to maybe go back and revisit those recordings. I don't think let's be honest, we won't record those as well as the Count Basie Orchestra, as Duke's bands did, certainly. Those guys are legends. They're classics. And they've earned the title of legends. But I think, you know, the students will learn a lot out of those programs, and certainly during the course of the year, we perform a lot of that music just so they have the perspective. And our composers are very influenced by not only by Basie and by Duke Ellington, but by certainly composers like Thad Jones and composers even a little more modern like Bob Minter or Maria Schneider, the composers that you might be familiar with, or John Clayton certainly, that are steeped in and very rooted in the traditions of jazz. So we're I think what we get with this new project is to give the students a really really cool experience, and to give them a professional experience in the studio, but also to give them the opportunity to, you know, extend their voice a little bit. And that's one of the things I think that jazz needs to continue to think about, is we need to continue to find our new voices, whatever it is, if it's a student composition or if it's reimagining or reinterpreting the great Basie library or new music, however that is, we are certainly responsible for that. So I know that the university we perform those works. In fact, last week we just did selections from the Ellington's three sacred concerts. One of the great thrills of my life was to be able to perform that music. It was amazing. So
we're visiting with Dr. Arthur White. He's the University of Missouri's Director of Jazz Studies, an assistant professor of music, an accomplished saxophonist in his own right, and a composer. And before I let you go, Dr. White, tell our listeners where they might be able to pick up a copy of this CD that may or may not be readily available to all of our listening audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and fantastic. Well, of course, there are certain places online you can get it. You can download Vertigo. You can download it from iTunes. And it's available at cdbaby.com, as well as it is on a number of different online music places, Amazon.com, DigStation, and a number of places like that. I always love a hard copy of a piece of a CD because I love to read liner notes and I like to find out who's in the CD. So if people are interested in hard copies of the music, they may contact us through the music.missouri.edu website. They can also email me that website. They can email me at whitear@missouri.edu, or they can call our number, our jazz number, which is my office at 573-882-3430, and we'll ship anywhere. So if somebody is interested in a hard copy of this wonderful CD, the price is right, it's a reasonable price, and of course all of the proceeds go back to support MU Jazz Studies and our endeavors to become one of the great programs in jazz studies in the country.
Yeah, you stole my next line, because I was going to say that, and I think it is important that our listeners know that the proceeds from the sale of the CD will benefit the Mizzou Jazz Studies program, and what a better way to help support your youngsters than to buy a CD and have something for yourself, and at the same time, give a little something for the education of our students and the future musicians and the future legends of jazz. Well, before I
no,
let
I couldn't,
you...
I couldn't have put it better myself. That's
fantastic. Well, Dr. White, before I let you go, as a proud alumni of the University of Missouri, I'm hesitant to tell you 50 years ago or thereabouts. In the 50s, I was there, and we had a wonderful opportunity at the school in those days to bring in Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald and Oscar Peterson. Is that still the practice rather than the exception at the school?
It certainly is. Absolutely. We of course, you know, the Basie bands and the Ellington bands are largely ghost bands now, and it's not that they're not wonderful bands; they're incredible musicians. But we do bring in the nationally and internationally recognized guest artists every year. We're fortunate to be to have a community partner in the We Always Swing Jazz series, which brings in a season of jazz performances as diverse as musicians as Branford Marsalis and the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra and the Maria Schneider Big Band. They bring in, last year they brought in, I can't even think of half the people. This year, they brought Joey Calderazzo and Brad Meldow and just had Reedy Rasmus and Bill Charlap. And they, the university's, my concert jazz band performed with the great Randy Brecker and with the really wonderful pianist Lynn Arriau. And so they bring in, we are very fortunate to be able to have a partner in the We Are Swing Jazz series with John Poses, their executive director, and he's very passionate about jazz education. And I could not ask for a better partner in securing certainly jazz in Columbia and helping to further the mission of jazz education and to help put Columbia and MU both on the jazz map. So we absolutely still do that, and it's wonderful, and we'll continue to do it as long as I'm here.
Well,
which hopefully
I know,
will be another 50 years.
I hope so, too, and I know John does a great job. We were involved with one of his earlier programs long before you came to the university, where he brought in many of these same artists you've talked about as we did a baseball and jazz event for the benefit of cancer and other charities, and he does.
And that event is still being talked about around town. It's amazing how just as this community is a great jazz. We have a great jazz audience here, and we couldn't be more thrilled to work with John and the jazz series. It's phenomenal. It really is.
In fact, we had the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra here in town a few weeks ago, and they made comments about the We Always Swing Jazz series and mistakenly thought that it was from St. Louis rather than from Columbia, but they corrected themselves before the program was over.
Fantastic. Well, those guys are great guys, and they're always on the road, and they were playing gigs, and so I'm not at all upset that they might have, that some of them might have gotten confused a little bit, but, you know, the truth is, it's a wonderful series, and it really does help. It gives the university's jazz program a real ally and a real community partner as we push the mission of jazz education and performance forward in Columbia, throughout Missouri, and certainly, like I said, you know, the goal is to put this nationwide and let everybody know about MU Jazz, and I think we're on our way to doing that.
Well, Dr. Arthur White, you're to be congratulated on the success of the recording and, more importantly, on the success of the education our kids are receiving with you and others, and we thank you for all of that. We want to remind our listeners that they can get more information on the CD or the University of Missouri Jazz Program by calling 573-882-3430. Or visit mujazz.missouri.edu. Well, Dr. White, thanks so much for giving up your time and talking to us about the new CD, Vertigo. We wish you continued success, and we hope to be able to visit with you again when your next CD comes out.
Don, you are a prince among men, and I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, that's Dr. Arthur White, the University of Missouri's Director of Jazz Studies and Assistant Professor of Music, saxophonist, composer, and educator, and much, much more. I'm Don Wolf, and I love jazz!